Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is December 15th, 2025, and the party is over. For the last 3 years, we have lived in the era of vibe revenue. We built pilots, we celebrated vibes, and we ignored the P&L because we were terrified of missing out. But with the release of GPT 5.2, reality has arrived with a price tag. The new pro reasoning models cost $168 per million output tokens. That is not a typo. If you are still measuring your AI success by how cool the demo looks, you are already underwater. The great chasm has opened up between companies that play with AI and companies that profit from it. Today, we are going to bridge that chasm. We are ditching the vanity metrics and introducing the only three numbers that matter in 2026: cost per successful outcome, revenue per agent, and workflow displacement rate. But before we audit your strategy, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Now let's look at the ROI.
Okay, let's unpack this. The sources we have today cut right through, I think, the greatest buzzword of the last 3 years, AI.
Absolutely.
If you are anywhere near a balance sheet, anywhere near a technology budget right now, you know the single most urgent question is this. How do we move from spending massive amounts on potential,
on the promise of it,
to actually proving measurable, recurring return on investment? It is absolutely the moment of reckoning.
It is. Our mission for this deep dive is to really understand that seismic shift that happened at the end of 2025, that sudden, almost ruthless transition from chasing purely technical capability to demanding, you know, rigorous, auditable financial justification.
The market just grew up overnight, it feels like.
It got very demanding very, very quickly.
And the immediate problem we need to tackle is what the sources have so brilliantly labeled vibe revenue.
I love that term.
It's a genuinely fun and insightful pejorative, right?
Yeah.
It was popularized late last year, and it refers to valuations and budgets that are just propped up by market optimism, by promising proof of concepts.
The science fair demos.
Exactly. The science fair projects that feel cool but have zero impact on the P&L statement.
And that whole era of optimism was, I mean, instantly terminated. The catalyst was so clear. The December 2025 release of OpenAI's GPT 5.2.
A technical triumph.
Oh, an absolute triumph. It scores 70.9% on incredibly complex knowledge work tasks like GDPVEL, and get this, a perfect 100% on the AM 2025 math competition. But economically, that technical leap was a financial ultimatum.
Because it created what we are calling the great chasm. It's this widening, terrifying gap between what the models can do, the state of the art, and the ability of a normal enterprise to actually get a positive ROI from it.
And why?
The cost. The cost of these high-end reasoning models, the pro variants, it's just astronomical. I mean, you need to hear this. The GPT 5.2 Pro pricing reaches an astonishing $168 per million output tokens.
$168. That's the bill for the thinking part.
That's the bill.
And that's the reality shock. So the game is moving from vague transformation to cold, hard quantification. The core strategic pivot now is from that generalized promise to the rigorous, numbers-driven discipline of proof of value. Or POV.
So we have to stop celebrating things like how many people talk to our chatbot.
Exactly. Stop auditing the vanity metrics and start auditing the cash flow.
Which means we need new tools, new yardsticks.
Precisely. We'll be detailing the three critical financial metrics that have basically replaced token count and chat volume. They are cost per successful outcome, CPSO, revenue per agent, RPA, and agentic workflow displacement rate, AWDR.
Okay. These are the mandatory KPIs for any company that's serious about surviving 2026.
Without a doubt.
So let's start with the hangover, because you can't really appreciate the need for rigor until you appreciate the scale of the preceding binge.
That's a good way to put it.
The psychology of that vibe revenue era was just pure gold rush mentality. We saw trillions spent laying the railroads, all this investment in GPU clusters and data centers.
But the trains, the profitable scaled applications running on those railroads, they're either empty or just perpetually stuck in an experimental phase.
And that shows up inside companies as pilot purgatory. We've all seen it.
Oh, absolutely. endless vendor trials, multiple SaaS subscriptions, these innovation labs that pump out amazing demos that just year after year never seem to touch the operating margins of the core business.
And the financial gap this has created is just monumental. We're calling it the ROI gap. Analysis from late 2025 suggested the AI sector needs to generate something like $600 billion in annual revenue.
$600 billion.
Just to get a modest 10% return on the infrastructure capital that's already been deployed. And we are missing that target by a wide, wide margin.
That missing $600 billion is exactly what forced the shift in C-suite psychology. In 2023-2024, the defining emotion was FOMO.
Fear of missing out. Every board wanted an AI strategy, no matter what it cost.
And here's where it gets really interesting. By late 2025, that fear completely inverted to FOOI, fear of overinvestment. Boards started looking at the balance sheets and just demanding brutal justification. They're not asking, why didn't we buy that GPU cluster anymore?
Now they're asking, we spent $50 million on AI this year. Please show me the $50 million in auditable savings or new revenue it generated.
And that ruthless demand immediately exposed what we're calling tech opacity risk. CFOs are finally realizing the costs go way beyond the sticker price of a GPU.
You're talking about all the hidden charges.
Exactly. Data egress fees, vector database storage, and the massive OpEx required to maintain retrieval augmented generation, or ARAG, pipelines.
Okay, ARAG pipelines, that's a critical piece of jargon. For anyone who might not know the operational pain here, why is maintaining a RAG pipeline such a huge, continuous headache? It feels like it should be set and forget.
It's the exact opposite of set and forget. A RAG pipeline is complex. It needs constant maintenance, constant tuning. You're dealing with enterprise data that's messy, it's unstructured.
It's in legacy systems.
Right. So you have to clean it, chunk it, index it. Then you have to constantly monitor retrieval quality. If the source data changes, the index can break. If the LLM drifts, your response quality just tanks. The real OpEx isn't the model. It's the fully loaded labor cost of the engineering team babysitting that pipeline 24/7.
That context brings us right back to the GPT 5.2 paradox. On one hand, the technical capability of these new thinking models is just revolutionary. They can act like a senior analyst, a code reviewer.
But relying on those sterile benchmark scores leads you straight into the benchmark trap.
Right.
We assume high scores on a test translate linearly to business value. They just don't. They ignore real-world friction, like latency or messy corporate policies, or data that never looks like a clean test set.
And then the price. We have to detail this pricing shock again. The standard model is 1.75 per million input tokens, but the pro variant, the one that does the heavy lifting, jumps to $21 for input.
And that's staggering $168 per million output tokens.
That's the cost of the model thinking.
And that single number is where the business case for mass adoption just instantly collapses.
Let's ground this with a calculation from the sources. Imagine a high-value agentic workflow at a financial firm, analyzing regulatory filings.
Right.
The agent reads a 50-page report, say 30,000 input tokens. It uses 5,000 tokens for internal reasoning. And the final memo it spits out is 2,000 tokens.
So running that one time on the GPT 5.2 Pro model costs about 34 cents for the input and overhead, and then 34 cents for that pricey output.
So the total cost for one memo is about $1.07 per execution.
Which doesn't sound like much.
Not at first. But what if you scale it? If that one niche use case runs 10,000 times a day across a global firm, the annual bill for that one workflow is $3.9 million.
And you cannot justify a $4 million annual OpEx bill based on a vibe.
Never. Only massive, proven P&L value can absorb that kind of cost.
And we have to connect that high cost to velocity and obsolescence. The sources point out that GPT 5.2's release was accelerated by competition. This means enterprises face extreme technical debt. They're constantly re-architecting prompts and pipelines.
So the focus has to shift.
It has to. Stop asking which model is technically better and start asking which model gives me the best margin. And that pivot demands a proof of value POV strategy.
Which is so essential because the failure rate of generative AI pilots in 2025 was estimated at a truly painful 95%.
And that's not a failure of the tech, it's a failure of objective.
Okay, so let's define the difference between a POC and a POV, because this is where executives get lost.
Right. A traditional proof of concept, a POC, asks, can we build this? The metric is technical feasibility. Success is just, it works.
But the new standard, the proof of value, asks the much harder question, should we build it?
Does it make economic sense? The only metric is economic viability, and success is it pays.
So to make that concrete, a POPOS proves an LLM can summarize a PDF.
A POV proves that same summarization reduces the legal team's billable hours by 15% without increasing liability risk. It's about quantified impact.
So how do you enforce this?
You adopt the validation first framework and start with the P&L. Step one, financial discovery, find a high cost center. Customer support tier one costs us $12 million a year.
Okay.
Step two, baseline measurement. Measure current human performance. Our cost per ticket is $6.50. Step three is the hypothesis generation. Propose a specific metric move.
Mm-hmm.
We will reduce the cost per ticket to $1.50, and the project is judged only on that.
This sounds like the cure for the science fair syndrome. I think McKinsey reported less than 15% of pilots ever reach production.
Because they're developed in a vacuum. A successful POV has to tackle the messy 20% of edge cases that break automation. And maybe most critically, projects now need to define kill criteria.
A kill criteria? That sounds brutal.
It's necessary financial discipline. If a project can't meet its financial goal in the time frame, it's automatically terminated. For example, if agentic workflow displacement is less than 10% after 8 weeks, the budget is zeroed out.
It's a firewall against the sunk cost fallacy.
Exactly. It stops the portfolio of vibe revenue zombie projects.
Okay, that clarity brings us to the core solution, the three essential financial metrics. Let's start with the foundational defensive one, cost per successful outcome, or CPSO.
We have to dismantle the old metric first, which was cost per token. That's a vendor-centric number. It's like buying gasoline by the drop it. Tells you nothing about the journey.
Tokens are inputs.
Right. CPSO shifts the focus entirely to the output, the measurable, value-generating completion of a task.
And the power of the formula is that it forces you to aggregate all the costs. Token costs, infrastructure, licensing.
And the big one, the fully loaded cost of human intervention when it fails. Mm-hmm. All of that divided by the number of successful outcomes.
And that hidden lever in the formula is reliability.
That's it. Reliability, not token price, dictates the true business cost.
Let's use the source's two scenarios. Scenario A is the cheap model. Low token cost, maybe a cent per interaction, but it only succeeds 60% of the time.
So the other 40% fail and need a human fallback, which costs, say, $5 a pop in loaded labor.
Your effective CPSO balloons to $2.01 per successful outcome.
Now look at scenario B, the expensive pro model. High token costs, say, 0.50 cents per interaction, but it's 95% reliable.
So only 5% fail and need that $5 human tax.
And your effective CPSO drops to just 75 cents per successful outcome.
That is genuinely counterintuitive. The model that's 50 times more expensive per token ends up being 62% cheaper for the business.
Because it minimizes the human tax of failure. That should be a C-suite epiphany.
But to do this, you need what the sources call outcome-aware observability.
You have to instrument your systems to track every session, know if it was a success or a failure, and then ingest the actual human labor cost associated with fixing those failures.
Okay, let's move to the top line. Our second metric is the offensive one, revenue per agent, or RPA.
This is about turning AI from a cost center into a profit driver.
Yeah.
You treat agents as digital employees with their own sales quotas.
So this would apply to sales development, e-commerce assistance?
Anywhere the agent generates direct or assisted value. The big challenge is attribution modeling.
Right. If an AI agent warms up a lead, but a human closes the deal, who gets the credit?
You use assistive attribution. You assign a percentage of the human closed deal, say 30%, to the AI agent based on documented proof that it completed high value steps.
And the brokerage case study in the sources shows this works. Their Keystory AI led to an 18% increase in blended revenue per agent.
And a staggering 312% ROI in the first year.
Wow.
Because they could calculate the margin. A successful digital worker has high revenue and low cost, demonstrating that 90% margin is the holy grail that justifies high valuations today.
And our third and final metric is maybe the most sensitive, agentic workflow displacement rate, or AWDR.
This is about measuring labor impact. It's the key to decoupling revenue growth from headcount growth. It measures the percentage of human tasks successfully offloaded to AI.
But we have to be clear, high displacement doesn't just mean layoffs.
No, and for responsible companies, the goal is the reinstatement effect. Workers move from repetitive tasks to higher value work that only humans can do. Strategic planning, complex exceptions.
But how do you actually measure that? It sounds like you need a surgical understanding of every job role.
You do. You have to map tasks at a granular level. Using frameworks like ONET, you tag every minute of labor as human only, AI-assisted, or fully autonomous. The change over time is your AWDR.
And it's linked to time to value. The sources say if displacement is less than 20% after 8 weeks, the project is probably a failure.
That's the hard line. And tracking AWDR has a huge HR dimension. By knowing which roles face, say, 70% displacement, HR can proactively design upskilling programs before the automation hits.
It turns a crisis into a strategic planning opportunity.
Percent.
Okay, so we have the metrics. But we have to come back to the paradox. How do you achieve low CPSO when the best models are 168 per $1 million tokens? You can't run everything through that.
And that's the final crucial step. The answer is in the architecture. Composite AI enabled by intelligent model routing.
Composite AI, so a mix of models.
Exactly. You combine large models, small models, SLMs, and even traditional symbolic AI into one system.
And the model router is the system that decides which model gets which task.
It's the air traffic control for intelligence. A prompt comes in, the router analyzes its complexity and risk, and sends it to the most cost-effective model that can do the job. It avoids that $1.07 ticket whenever it can.
So what does that routing hierarchy look like in practice?
Think of it as tiers. Tier 1 models are the interns, a Llama 3.8b, a basic SLM. They do simple classification, PII redaction. Their cost is negligible.
Okay.
Tier 2 handles moderately complex stuff. Tier 3 are the partners, like GPT-5.2 thinking. Their role is purely for complex legal reasoning or high-stakes interaction. That's where you pay the premium price.
And the key economic insight is that 60 to 80% of routine enterprise prompts do not require that Tier 3 intelligence.
By routing those common prompts to cheaper tiers, you can slash your blended token cost by up to 99% without sacrificing quality. You save the expensive intelligence for when it truly matters.
The FinSecure case study confirms this. They implemented a router, and the result was a 70% reduction in operating expenses while actually increasing the accuracy of their complex queries.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the router also prevents vendor lock-in. If one provider raises prices, you can instantly shift traffic to a competitor. It's an economic insurance policy.
So the shift is undeniable. The great chasm is going to swallow anyone still relying on vibe revenue. The industry is maturing from AI as magic to AI as engineering.
The mandate for every C-suite leader is clear. Stop buying the vibe and start auditing the value. Get out of pilot purgatory and focus ruthlessly on CPSO, RPA, and AWDR.
This raises a big question, though. The technology, like GPT-5.2's reasoning, is clearly ready. It can deliver. But is the enterprise, with its legacy systems and resistance to this kind of transparency, is it ready to measure and deploy with this much financial rigor?
You know, the analysis shows that in this post-vibe economy, true AI dominance won't be won by whoever has the fastest benchmark score. It'll be won by whoever masters the most robust, outcome-aware accounting system, controlling the cost of failure, proving the margin on digital labor. That financial mastery is the real differentiator for survival in 2026.
That wraps up today's deep dive into AIROI. The signal for today is accountability. We learned that cost per token is a vanity metric. It doesn't matter if the token is cheap if the agent fails 40% of the time. We also learned that the winning architecture isn't a single massive brain like GPT-5.2. It's composite AI. It's about having the intelligence to route simple tasks to cheap models and complex reasoning to the expensive ones. Your homework is simple. Audit one workflow this week. Don't ask, can AI do this? Ask, what is the cost per successful outcome? If you can't answer that, you are still running on vibes. Before we go, a reminder for the leaders listening. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until next time, stop buying the vibe and start auditing the value. Let's go.